हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Sri Krishna Sandarbha, Adhyayana 5, Adhikarna 3, Prakat and Aprakat Abodes, page 53. Krishna revealed the place which was real, cognizant, infinite, eternal, and self-effulgent. Sages see that place in trance when the consciousness is freed of the modes of material nature. 55. Did I say three?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, maybe because it's Adhikarna 3? Who knows? One cannot see Goloka except by Krishna's mercy. Being merciful, Krishna showed Goloka to the inhabitants of Braja. That Goloka is a special abode beyond Prakriti. The variety there is eternally existing. It is an unlimited spiritual manifestation. Brahman, spiritual light, exists as its effulgence eternally. When the devotee is devoid of material relationships, he can see this special tattva. So, there in the Gokul pastimes. And so they're saying, oh, well, when will we be able to go back to Godhead? So, since they are already back to Godhead, then he shows them Goloka. And then they're happy to see that. And then we see they then went after the Dantavakra pastimes, then they go. Vajrakumar. Yeah?
It's very interesting. They have that desire. And it's actually gradual that the Lord, first he showed them Brahman. And they were like, okay. No. Yeah. Then Vaikuntha. They were impressed with Vaikuntha.
Well, it is impressive, but it doesn't mean you want to stay there.
And then, he showed them...
You know, it's like you go to Epcot, doesn't mean you want to stay there. It's impressive, but hey.
Go up, and they sort of, this is our place. No, they have no anxiety after that.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, so you see is that the thing is, Krishna is always doing what he says. But at the same time, is what he does may be beyond what we understand.
Yeah.
You know? That's what it says. Except Krishna revealing it, you cannot know it. Because it can't be known by intelligence. It can't be known by... The spiritual subject matter can only be known by the soul. It can't be known by the mundane intelligence and mind and senses. You can't use that. They're improper. You know, it'd be like saying someone, no, but I could do, okay, I'll give you a thermometer. Okay, now tell me what color the tree is. Why? How? You have a thermometer, go for it. So that's the difficulty, you know, is how are you supposed to know? So it's all Krishna can only reveal because it's beyond. So the soul proper is what is appreciating. So when you hear a lecture and that makes sense and you appreciate the spiritual value, it's the soul who's appreciating. It's going beyond the mind and intelligence and the ego. So as long as you're identifying with those so much, you can't know. That's why they argue and this and that. But as soon as you stop and listen and see, yes, you know, appreciate the spiritual potency, appreciate the logic, then you can see, yes, that's what it is. So the soul itself is what appreciates these things. The mind, intelligence, there's no way. No question. Means just look at it here. If you want a practical example, right? of no way in hell they could know, right? Okay, so now, what's his name? Ajamil, right? So now in the Ajamil pastime, since he chanted the holy name, the Yamadutas came. I mean, the Abhishanadutas came. Yamadutas were already there. They were stopped. They had no idea what was going on at all. And these are very pious people that they, you know, were in Pitri Loka. Right? They lived with Yamaraj, right? The most, you know, the person representing Dharma, you know, material Dharma and piety in the universe. And they're with him. They're associates of him. Right? Like that. But they couldn't understand the spiritual. That's the meaning of no way in hell. They're from hell. They didn't understand it. So there's no question. You're going to, if they don't understand it, nobody's going to understand it. Right? Except by the spiritual. Except by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. See? What do you think?
Yeah.
Practical.
This is like direct translation of it.
Yeah. Direct evidence.
A bit of freaking.
Yeah. Vijay Kumar, can all the liberated souls see Goloka? Goswami, among millions of liberated persons, a devotee of the Lord is rare, because he's saying all liberated, because you say you can't know it by material. When the devotee is devoid of material relationships, he can see this, right? Then they are liberated, right? So therefore, then the question is, oh, so then can all liberated souls see? Then he says, no. Among millions, a devotee of the Lord is rare. Those who obtain liberation, like when Gopu Kumara went out and he saw all the Wallas sitting there in their meditation at Ayn Brahman, sitting in the white light, and you know, it's so shiny, they look white, everything's white. And so it didn't say there were two or three of them. You know, there's just huge amounts of them.
Yeah.
Those who obtain liberation on the path of the personal jnana or on the path of Astanga Yoga experience forgetfulness of Atma in Brahman. They don't know themselves. They're absorbed in Brahman, but they forget who they are. But what they're not catching is their perceiving. There's always going to be someone who's perceiving something that is perceived, and then there's the ability to perceive.
Yeah.
These three have to be there. So when they say Brahmananda, that already indicates that they as an individual are there to perceive the happiness of Brahman. But they just kind of finesse that. But in actuality, you can't have. Otherwise, what's their meaning? Because in the Buddhists, they don't say that. They just say you won't exist. And so from this place, I think, oh, that will be nice. But they're saying, no, when you get there, then you'll think it's nice. Mayavadis, you know, Brahmananda. But ananda has to be experienced by the soul. Devotees attracted to Aishwarya cannot see Goloka. They serve a majestic form according to the bhava in their hearts in Vaikuntha. Among those who worship Krishna with Braja Rasa, those who become liberated from the endless bondage of Maya by Krishna's mercy can see Goloka. Vijaya Kumar. Vijaya Kumar, this is Navadvipa or this is Puri?
Puri.
Okay, so it all comes in. Yeah. Vijaya Kumar. If no one except the liberated devotee can see Goloka, why do Brahma Samhita, Harivamsa, Padma Purana, and other scriptures describe Goloka? Goswami, those devotees who appreciate Vrajarasa, whom Krishna elevates to Goloka, can see Goloka completely. Among those pure devotees of Vraja, some can see Goloka slightly. Devotees are of two types, Siddha and Sadhaka. The sadhakas are not qualified to see Goloka. The siddhas are of two types, Vastu Siddhi and Sarup Siddhi. Those with Vastu Siddhi are brought to Goloka directly by Krishna's mercy. Sarup Siddhi devotees see the Sarup of Goloka, but they are not brought to Goloka from the material world by Krishna's mercy. Right? So Sarup Siddhi means they're still here. They're here in the, you know, in the pastimes going on in the Bhauma Leela. Right? By Krishna's mercy, their devotional eyes gradually open. They have many types of qualifications. Some see a little, some see more, and some can even see more of Goloka. To the extent that Krishna shows mercy, to that extent they see Goloka. As long as they are at the stage of sadhana, their vision of Goloka is slightly tinged with maya. If one gives up sadhana and attains bhava, one can see Goloka to some degree. At the stage of prema, one can see Goloka to a high degree. Right? And that high degree will be according to one's position. Because you see how much is necessary for the rasa. One can say, no, but I want to see everything. No, you don't. You want to see what is connected with you and the pastimes that you're involved in. Right? Just like if you're in the Cowherd Boys, they don't see what's going on at Nandamara's house during the day. They're out. You know, they're just happy that lunchtime that servants come out and bring things to eat. You know, for them, that's the important part. Does that make sense? So people see how much is there. So people can see more. They see more of what's going on. So it means higher up in their things. So if you see Radha and Krishna, then you're seeing the highest. Because it's not about volume. Because volume and all that greatness, that means majesty, means you're not going to see it anyway. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Because when you're in Vaikuntha, there's Vaikuntha. It's a planet. It's on its own. You know, everything happens there. You're cool. Right? So that way then it works very nicely. If that's important for you, then that's there. But if it's all that you have to know the mechanics of the lotuses, the petals are opening, closing, this, that, how it's working, you know, like that, then Braj is not for you. It means you've heard that that's what it does, that's good enough. If you have to know what's the mechanics of it, that's not your business. Right? It means that the Sarup Shakti takes care of that. It's not our business, so we have other things to do. Right? She'll take care of her service, we'll take care of ours. It goes on, it's said it goes on, so we know it goes on. You know, just like you say, oh, the car runs on petrol. Do you know how that works? How it's burning and everything like that, and exactly, and what's the molecular structure of what you're actually burning? And is it actually petrol? I mean, in the West, would it even pass as petrol? You know, they might not even sell it as kerosene in the West. You know, it's like, you know, what they sell for kerosene here, you know, would be, who knows? You know what I'm saying? So like that, then the you know how much you will know. And so it's revealed up to, means you have the aspect of it's revealed up to fully what you will know. But there's also the aspect is that how much you need to know. So, you know, how you say, the Radharani will know the most. She knows everything. But we don't need to know what she knows and everything because she's involved in every pastime of Krishna. Like that, we're involved in with our group. Does that make sense? It means Maharas is once a year. Millions of gopis, literally. So that means all the different pastimes of Radha and Krishna, then so many of them come together for the Maharas. And it just kind of sets everything in place. It's like a soft reset, you know, that everybody understands who's where. You know? But otherwise, you don't see millions of gopis. You move in your circle, you see, it's just like here, you move around Vrindavan, Mayapur, how many people you see? Do you see 1,000 foreign devotees? No, never. See a handful. Do you see 4,000 Bengali devotees?
Sometimes.
No, I'm talking about the ones that live here, not the ones on the bus. That, definitely, yeah, definitely. But when you see 70 buses on the road, then you see that. But I'm saying you don't see. So that's the whole thing. You move in your circle, they move in their circles, everyone moves in their circle. It's all centered around Krishna, it's all perfect. Yeah. Yeah. So then, how much is needed to do? And when you're in the position of sadhaka, then you don't see. You get a glimpse of it. That's why we hear about it. And so then we have those mantra-pasaka verses that, you know, you may think about for, you know, 3 nanoseconds or 5 nanoseconds or whatever it is that you're qualified for. You think for a few minutes and meditates very nice, like this, whatever. But point is those positions are, that's what's there, and we get a glimpse of it here and there. It's like Prabhupada said with the paintings, like they're a window into the spiritual sky, you know, because the window, you can see what's going on the other side. So then those are the windows by which we can see, and then we're inspired. Yes, that's where I'd like, you're inside, you see outside, the sun's out, it's nice, the trees are blooming, everything's nice, you want to go outside. So we see, then we want to go. But then all those who are siddhi, they then have more, because they're not on the material platform. Right? They're on the platform of bhava and prema. Right? So then they see more. But those in sarup siddhi, they are able to see how much is kind of connected in what they're dealing with now. But vastu siddhi means now they can see full galore. You know, however much is their area. Because vastu means you can go there. Sarup means you're still here. So, even if you're dealing with apricot, you're dealing with the apricot here. Yes?
So that means swarup siddha meditation, then there is no svarasika. It's not at the level of svarasika.
And not necessarily. Technically, it could be possibly. It depends upon, you know, the full exact definition of svarasiki. But sarup siddhi means you have the qualification to start taking part in the pastimes. You're not on the platform of prema, but you've gone past the point of your exclusive meditation. So in the Samarana Dasa, it's come to the point of samadhi. So like we see with those gopis that couldn't go to the rasa dance, they weren't on the platform of samadhi. But by being stopped by the family members, then either they immediately came to that point and then were by yoga mayas able to go, or they were locked up in their rooms. And then in that meditation, they came to that point. So the next time, then they went. Right? So then that sarup siddhi, you have your sarup, that you have your form, that sarup, we have our form. But we're walking around with it now. It's just covered by two other forms. Technically, even you could say three. The linga sharir is there, so you know, nicely packed. You know, better than Amazon. And so then, that being said, then we have to see is that they come to the point where now they're qualified. That's sarup siddhi. That's the misnomer. The sahajiyas, they try to say that. Knowing what your sarup is, that's sarup siddhi. No, that's shravana dasa. Right? The point is then you have to adjust to, I'm servant of Krishna. What does that mean? Does that make sense? Right? You know, so then it goes. Because unless you understand the general mode, it means if you want to get into braj, you have to understand the surrender of the braj of basis. Right? Like Brahma. Seeing the whole thing, I would just like to be a blade of grass that I would, any Brajbasi would step on me. Uddhava also. Right? So unless you appreciate Brajbasis, you can't be specific that it's about gopis. They just go, oh, it's just about, you know, they hear it's no, I'm adjusting with what do you call it? How to be that gopi that I've been told I am. But that's bogus. First, you have to have the surrender of the Brajbasis. Then you can be there. Otherwise, it's like, where are you from? You know, it means they're people. They'll ask you, where are you from? You know, and they'll say, I'm from here. It's kind of like, where here? We're from here. We don't know. It's a village. Everybody in a village knows everybody. They're asking you who you are means they don't know who you are. Means why are you there? Understand? So that's the whole thing. You just project yourself there, and it's kind of like, uh-oh. Oh, these guys again. You know, so that could also be the point of the mantraupasana. Mantraupasaka, those who project themselves into that position that don't belong there, at least then everybody else can avoid that spot. You know, they got that spot, and they're like that, everybody else just walks around. So is that okay? So then, so when you become called as Apandasa, that's Surup City. Then, what do you call it?
Sampati.
Sampati, yeah. That is inheritance. That's Vastu City. So at that point, you have to leave the material body. Because the material body, because it's still connected to material energy, it still has some impurity. You know, very subtle, but you know, then Vastu Siddhi, then you see is that those persons, they may come back here to preach. You know, like that. And then they have nothing to do with the material. They only come to discuss Krishna's glories. Yes, no? Very good. Okay. Vijaya Kumar, Prabhu, what is the difference between Goloka and Vraja? Goswami said, whatever one sees in Vraja is also in Goloka. According to the faith of the seer, there will be some difference in what is seen. Actually, Goloka and Vrindavan are non-different. One sees difference only because of the eye of the beholder. Person in Tamas sees that everything in Vraja is material. A person in Raja sees everything slightly better. A person in Sattva sees Shuddha Sattva to the degree of his seeing power. Everyone's qualification is different, thus they see differently. Vijaya Kumar. Is that good?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll move on from that.
Sure.
Okay. Vraja Kumar, Vijaya Kumar. Prabhu, I understand a little, but please give a few examples. One cannot give perfect examples of the spiritual world using material things, but by suggesting one aspect, all aspects can be understood. Goswami, this is a difficult topic. It is forbidden to reveal the realization of secrets. By Krishna's mercy, what you can see, you should keep secret at all times. I will speak what the previous acharyas have revealed. You will see what else remains by Krishna's mercy. So that's also the point, that's the etiquette. What the acharyas have revealed, that's what we talk on. We don't talk about what you've seen. Right? If you've seen something, you don't talk about that. You talk about what the acharyas have revealed. Does that make sense? As if it's a problem, right? You're sitting around eating, you know, tea and crumpets, and, you know, this is always the problem, is everybody wants to reveal their full realizations, but everybody doesn't, so they just talk about the weather, right? Yeah. Okay. One perceives Goloka with pure spirit. It cannot be perceived materially. Right? So no logic can function at that point. Right? It means we can, because Krishna is knowledge, therefore, we can logically explain the spiritual tattva. But it's not by material logic that you can understand it. Right? Because Krishna is tattva, and that explanation is there. But your understanding of it will only come by your avikar, that you have that faith. Right? Like that's why you start with where the person's at, and in the area they are, they have faith in their area, and you talk about those things, and you show they're the logic, and like that you bring them up. That's just the standard thing. So this idea that, you know, oh, someone's figured that out, so now that's something new, that everybody else is not preaching. No, that's standard. That's what the acharyas have been doing forever. Does that make sense? You know, then to label that as something new is like that's inappropriate. Where the chit shakti reveals various bhavas for nourishing rasa, there is one element called abhimana, conception, that appears in many places. Krishna is without beginning in Goloka. He has no birth, but Nanda and Yashoda, assistants in the pastimes, personify Vatsalya rasa with the conception of being his mother and father. In Sringara rasa, varieties of separation and enjoyment exist as abhimana. Again, abhimana parakya, and being an upapati, exists as eternal abhimanas in parakiya bhava, which is actually pure swakiya bhava. Pure swakiya bhava means pure swakiya is that it's just an abhiman of the parakiya, right? And whereas it's parakiya, I mean, whereas swakiya, it's not the pure swakiya. Because there's the idea they think they are husbands. They have husbands. It's Krishna. So it's centered on Krishna. But the point is if you're looking at it from tattva, how does that get explained? You know, so we want an explanation. you know, this doesn't sound right. I need this, you know, what's right? What are we talking? Are we talking rasa or tattva? Yes, so in tattva, then we're talking about swakhiya and the pure swakhiya. So parakhiya is the pure swakhiya. So therefore here we say, Jiva Goswami is the only one that says this. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said it right here. You know what I'm saying? That's the difficulty with this so-called scholarship, is they can only, with their intelligence, see so much, and with that, then they try to establish their... Because that's the whole point of a scholar. You have to be unique. You write your own paper, your own thing, this and that. You can write your own realizations, but the point is the fact, the reality is the reality. It has nothing to do with you know, it's just the way it is. You know, so then when you have people that can't understand the rasa of it because of their aropia, that they manifest the mundane morality and project that on Krishna, therefore you explain it according to tattva and everything's cool. Now, whether they can accommodate that back into it and appreciate the parakiya, but if not, at least they leave it alone. And they'll focus on the swakhiya. But that's the thing, is who said that he says that it's swakhiya? You know what I'm saying? Who have we heard from? Did Prabhupada ever say?
No.
Did the acharyas say? So who's saying?
Well, the opposition.
That's right. That's exactly it. But it becomes the thing that our devotees say. So they pick up from the opposition, from the, you know, different people who are opposed to the Gaudiyas and all of that, or appeals to Jiva Goswami, because he comes in and you know, cleans the slate. And so anything that's isn't on pure devotional service gets cleaned, so all those persons are going to attack. The Sahajiyas will attack, the Goswamis will attack, you know, other Sampradayas will have that. But the thing is in India, is that, see, is in the West, you know, people, how long is someone a guru in their area? Right? And is it something that's always around? It means that you can say is there's kind of like always a group of these. No, now and again someone comes up. But in India, it's a tradition. It's just like gurus are everywhere. You know, it's like they're coming out of your ears. You want to see gurus, go to Kumbh Mela. It's just like you see millions, literally. You know, and so they know how to present it, so it doesn't sound like they're challenging or anything to what you're doing. They're just putting in the seeds of doubt in what you're doing, and because they did it in such a nice way, you must be right. They're wrong. They're very good at it. So therefore, you know, we see here this one's come up. It's a seed of doubt coming from the opposition. You know, you were discussing yesterday how, not even the last class, about. You know, that picking up things from the Nimbarkas, thinking it's a spontaneous devotional service like that, because, you know, Prabhupada's just given the simple things, we have to go get the high stuff from someone else, and then you end up with something that's not Gaudiya. Means, if you're really cool with Vaikuntha, go for it. You know, on a good day maybe you'll get. But otherwise, you'll be here. But you want Braj, you want Goloka, then you have to follow the acharyas. As he said, you have to follow the acharyas. So, as we see, no acharyas point that out. It's always that person who's read something and by somebody, because there's translations of things, but now we have our own translations. And so they translate, they comment, they do everything. And they just project their own idea. And so, you know, it's time to kind of leave those things and just take the pure teachings and drop all these other useless. This common conception is given a solid form by Yoga Maya and Vraja, right? So that Abhiman is that, what is the mood that's there? Like the cowherd boys thinks, you know, they're equals with Krishna. You know, this is all the Abhiman, like that. So Yoga Maya gives it a solid form. It makes concrete, right?
In the earthly world.
Hmm?
In Vraja. On the,
yeah, because it comes there. But the point is they have it in
have it, yeah.
There. So that's why, because it's here, Krishna takes birth, so then that Abhiman there, it continues. It's the same Abhiman. Here you have the activity that looks like birth. But so there, the Abhiman's already there. You don't have to back it up. You know, does that make sense? You know, it's just like in the ongoing life of parents, they don't have to every moment think, you know, this child was born for me. Right? No, you just go on. It's that they're my child, and you deal with them accordingly. So therefore, whether, you know, that's the mood. So that's the point. Goloka means you don't have to worry about that. Does that make sense? No?
I mean, this is the difference, the major difference between the Western and the, you know, traditional philosophy. That you have in the West, you have constantly to reestablish the truth, because it's not permanent.
It's relative.
It's relative or contextual.
Yes.
But then here, once it's established, that's it. It's forever. It's eternal.
Yeah.
So we don't have to worry about it. But the difficulty comes is that we're not convinced, actually. Because when we were studying Jiva Dharma, different stages, Bhaktivinoda Thakur especially discussing the Dashamul, and especially discussing the Jiva Tattva, which we feel somehow connection, you know, like very strong connection to.
Yes.
And the origin of the Jiva and, you know, different things.
Yes.
So then we're faced with the inner opposition, which before we didn't touch, we apparently didn't have it. But once we touched it, immediately, it can be that. But then we dealt and moved on. But certain people just accepted it, like you explained, on a logical level.
Mm-hmm.
But on their spiritual level, they're not convinced. Because by logic, you can defeat some person, but doesn't mean he's going to follow you.
Mm-hmm.
He's not... So then people go back and forth. Once they're convinced, they can move on.
Yes, yes.
But,
Because they don't get... Because the thing about logic is it doesn't get past Shravana.
Yeah.
Manana means you have to actually apply it. Contemplate it and apply it. That's not done. You can say intellectuals may say, no, we contemplate, but they don't do anything. Hence armchair speculators.
Yeah.
And then the karmis, they've been convinced, and then they just do stuff, but they don't contemplate. So therefore, neither the karmis nor the jnanis can know and get actual realization. So what they call realization, we call understanding. What we call clearing doubts, they call understanding. Right? So they shift everything up. It's like the sahajyas.
Yeah.
They don't have, you know, how you say, bupkas? They've got nothing, right? But then they say, oh no, we have Swarup City and we're there and it's all happening and, you know, like that. But they don't have anything. But so that's the whole thing, is they say they have. But in their own realm, yeah, maybe it works. But if it works so great, why is it that someone else is the one making money off of what they've done? Why is someone else has to apply it? They can't apply it. You know? I mean, you have one guy, you know, that stands out, Da Vinci.
Yeah.
He would come up with the ideas and he could make them and use them. He had so many ideas, how many of them can he do? But the ones he did do, they worked. And they were better than what everybody... So he's very rare. I mean, if you think about that in Western scientists and that, who can say that they've worked on that level? You know? So that's the thing, is that they are, you have to categorize them that they're scientists, but as far as it really goes, then how far can they get? How much do they actually understand the science and its application? You know, so that's the thing, is we're looking at its application. So on the level of science, we work on a much higher degree than anybody else does. You can say, oh, but look at what they've got. They've got this, but why does he have it? Right? Dude sitting around, you know, as a kid, how good is a kid's drawing skills? Right? So if he takes that, makes a boxy car, he thinks, wow, this is cool, right? And then later on, then somehow or another, he's got the money to build it. I don't think it's sold, but whatever it is. You know? So then the thing comes down is, where does that come from? His other friends, so it's just karma. So how can you say, oh, they're so much better? It's just karma. You know? That'd be like, you're sitting there eating an apple, you know, and you draw an apple and you don't do very good, but someone else is there, has this amazing, you know, 3D, you know, whatever it is, you know, 128K, you know, like that, you know, burn your retina, you know, kind of, what do you call it, video thing, and from all angles and that, so is his apple better than yours? You can eat yours, you're eating it, while you look into his, he can't eat his. So that's the difference, is that faith, that devotional service includes everything. That's so important, so fundamental for advancement. It means if, even if there's a little faith, one will advance, but when that becomes fixed, that's then when things get dynamic. Because otherwise, and like you're saying there, is that we have these doubts about everything, but where are these doubts from? Where are they from? Prabhupada said, he very clearly said, and you see when the acharyas explain it, it's exactly the same as what Prabhupada said. But others come up with these ideas and they say this and that, but where did they get it from? They say they got it from the acharyas, but what they say, the acharyas don't say that. So,
yeah.
So it's just, that's their understanding of it. So one has to stick as close as possible to what the acharyas are saying. You know, especially in things that are inconceivable, you can't demand that I can logically understand it. It's inconceivable. That's what the word means. Otherwise, remove it from the dictionary and say there's no such thing. So it's not illogical to say God is inconceivable, so you can't know him by logic. It's not illogical to say that. They'll try to say, no, it's not. That's the meaning of the whole thing. This conception is given a solid form by Yogamaya and Vraja. Jashoda gives birth. Krishna stays in the confinement room. And marriage of the Nitya Siddha gopis with Abhimanyu, Govardhan, etc. with conceptions of Parakya take a solid form. Yogamaya makes these arrangements based on the subtle foundational tattva. Nothing is false, and Vraja completely follows Goloka. Only there is a perception of difference between Goloka and Vraja because of obstructions of matter in the observer. So we'll see that. You know, so that's what you see is when you're talking before about those aspects of the jiva and how we got here and this and that. It's obstructions in their understanding of Goloka and Gokula. Like that, you know, say, oh, but in Goloka there can be no envy and no this and that. Okay, great. But you know, but this is non-different. That's what Brahma Samhita says. You know, no, this is, you know, this is not the spiritual realm. You know, so all these mundane conceptions get in the way. That's where the doubts come from. They're tripping over their own shoelaces.
Yeah.
You know, they're not. It's not that there's a fault in the spiritual. No, they're projecting their own perceptions onto these things. So that's why. These kind of point that it says, is it? One perceives Goloka with pure spirit, it cannot be perceived materially. So it's one of those, if it's explained and it makes sense to you, and there's a few minor points you ask and it can be answered, you know, pleasantly, then that discussion, it's, you could take part in it. But if it's a matter of this and that, and doubts and, you know, is spiritual life real, and all that kind of thing, you're not supposed to be talking about that. It's just not on a level that you have the adhikar to deal with. But by chanting and serving and associating devotees, then give it a little more time. So that's how you check, you know. It's like rice, you check. You squeeze it, if it's ready, you die. If it's not, you let it cook more. It's not like you put it in the pot, why is it immediately like that? It's the spiritual world. Why is it instant? I wanted it like that. I'm just doing it for Krishna. Why does it have to take so long? That's you. That's not the reality. So.
Yeah. Yesterday I was here in class on hermeneutics. Somehow now they run those courses And Bhakti Vigyana Maharaj, he takes part in that. They have different speakers, and Urmila Mataji, you know, different senior people. And then he mentioned that before discussing any serious spiritual topics, you have to ask yourself 14 questions. And
that's from this course.
It's an introspective kind of list of questions, and then before entering into discussion on you know, serious subject matters, like spiritual subject matters, you have to ask those questions to yourself, and it's actually very nicely done. And the first, do you follow your sadhana, like bhakti? Do you have did you read all the basic books of Srila Prabhupada? Did you understood them? Did you what is your intent entering the discussion? And you know, different, and then there's the adhikar, like you mentioned. Do you have an adhikar? Not from the material point of view, but from the spiritual point of view, even to discuss those topics, like here, you know, prakat, aprakat, or the fall of the jiva, or the, you know, inherent and inherited, you know, all those kind of things. So it's actually, we don't have, like you mentioned, we don't have to answer those questions, because by people, those who don't have an adhikar, even basic adhikar, they don't have, you know, solid sadhana, they didn't read, you know, even basic Srila Prabhupada books, and even entering the discussion, what is your intent? You want to create more diversity, or you want to create more unity? You know, it's like, or you just, like you mentioned, want to bring something new on the table and just play with it. So it's an interesting list, actually. You know, 14 points. He didn't mention that.
But who's the 14 points for?
For the students.
So who are supposed to be the students of this course?
I'm not sure.
Because otherwise, like new devotees, they probably wouldn't be able to check off anything from those 14.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
It must be for a very specific audience, otherwise.
I think so. Because hermeneutics, the topic is very complex. And he explains it nicely, but as far as I understood, his presentation is a part of a bigger course. But I didn't hear the introduction, and I'm not sure what's gonna happen, you know, later. I just got it on his website, and it's in English, so I was like kind of,
oh, okay.
I was intrigued.
Okay.
And then Urmila Mataji, how do I know she is there? Because it's obviously an online course, so she was kind of you know, guiding and connecting him with the audience. She was reading what's on the chat and like this. So I know she was definitely there. Otherwise, I'm not sure who else was there. But I know they made a, because somebody sent it to me, a huge paper, like several hundred pages. I just looked at it and I got scared. It on hermeneutics. That was prepared a few years back, but now they start to discuss, you know, what's this, that, and so it's quite interesting, actually.
Oh, okay, cool. But then also in there is that if you're going to ask those questions, you'd have to also define what those 14 points are.
Yeah.
Because that's the meaning of hermeneutics. If you haven't said what are the basic books, what is the basic adhikar,
yeah,
then you can't ask those questions, you know, from an authoritative point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Because technically, hermeneutics means acintaveda tattva. That's hermeneutics. Everything else is mechanics.
Yeah.
You know, that's our hermeneutics. Just like, you know, you have shastra, everyone's going to accept that. You know, you have chit, achit, ishwara, sadhana, sadhya.
Yeah.
Right? So everyone's going to, all the Vaishnavas accept that, right? And then everyone accepts that the jiva is the servant of the Lord, it's part and parcel of the Lord, the jiva tattva, he's the supreme absolute, material world is his energy, like this, and to be engaged in the Lord's service. On these spiritual points, there is no difference between all the Vaishnavas of the spiritual world. It means zero difference. Where the difference comes down to is now, how you're going to perceive all that. That's the hermeneutics. How do you interpret it? And you know, it means this verse is saying these things using these words. How do you apply that in your appreciation of philosophy? Therefore, then you know, dwait, adwait, vishishta dwait, vishuddha dwait, what do we have? Dwait, adwait, vishishta dwait, vishuddha dwait, and
dwait.
And adwait. That's probably, I said the two, and then this is the same as I got confused. Dwait and dwait. And then the chintamita vita tattva. These are the hermeneutics.
Yeah.
You know, just like Gotama, his hermeneutics, everything's logic. He'll look at it from there. Or everything's atomic theory, or everything's. That's what the hermeneutics is. Now, there may be all the nice mechanics of it, but the point is when you say the adhika, you have to define. So there's hermeneutics within what? Because if it's general, then it has a general thing. So the adhikar for Gotamas, you have to know logic and Sanskrit and, you know your grammar and know your dictionaries and like that. That would be...
Yeah. Well, he mentions that the real hermeneutics starts with Jaimini, because he deals with the whole range. So Mimamsa...
That means he may explain it, so we'll take from there, but the whole thing comes from Vyasadeva. It's the eternal philosophy. It's tattva.
Yeah,
that's like saying logic comes from Gotama, but Krishna says he's knowledge. So it's like if Jaimini did a full exposition on something, no one else has to do it. Just like Jaimini does not give an exposition on logic because Gotama already did it.
Yeah,
all the six schools use that. You're using the aspects of atomic theory that are correct. That's done by Seshika. Shankya is done by Kapila. Yoga is done by Patanjali. So he does that. So then that aspect of the Mimamsa, where you have how to understand the topic and this and that, he gets into that and explains it because it hasn't been explained before.
Yeah.
But the point is having explained all that, then you have Vedanta. So that's the end of knowledge. So because he's given all that doesn't mean that the hermeneutics doesn't come from here. That says now it's coming from him and it has to be done in this way according to what he says. Then that's a stretch. That's technically an academic stretch. So in other words, just like, and you could say of Achinta Bheda Bheda Tattva, the essential point is Krishna's Tu Bhagavan Swayam.
Yeah.
Means every verse, if you understand it in that context, and then whether it's talking about the oneness or the difference, or about the samasthi or vyasthi, or you know the different himself or the energies, energetic energy, all these kind of things, but you take it all the way back to Krishna, then you could say your hermeneutics is correct. That was what was being discussed before. So that's what hermeneutics is. Now the mechanics of it. All these different things, those are then, you know, nice things. You know, that if you know them, good. But even if you don't know them, but you understand and you have faith like that and you can say it, then it works.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not that you can't advance without it. It means with the core of the hermeneutics, yes, that everybody will gain as they advance. Those who have that scholarly ability, then they can go into these other technical points. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because according to some, without understanding the Sanskrit and the grammar, you can't understand Shastra. But it's been made very clear. Why? Because the chit potency. So that's why you have someone like Kashi Mishra. He was in a Chaitanya Charitamrita, classified as a third class devotee. Because he doesn't know Shastra. But his faith in Krishna, he's completely fixed in there. He's one of the Lord's eternal associates. But he doesn't know the Shastra, but he actually understands the essential points of hermeneutics. Everything's connected to Krishna. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So one has to be very careful that certain things that have an essential point, the external form of it, the the scholarly form isn't made the prominent point. Otherwise, then it becomes inaccessible to devotees. You read that 14, I don't have any of those qualifications, so I can't read, I can't do anything, I can't discuss. So one has to be very careful with those things. It's nice if you can establish, but it should not smell like academics. That makes sense? If it smells like academics, then it won't get the results they want. It means people won't be inspired to move forward in pure devotion service.
Yeah, I guess it's like before we discussed the object, and the object is the same, but according to the vision of the individuals, it looks different.
Right.
So here, I guess it might smell differently according to whose smell.
That's there, but at the same time, as you know, it's just like someone is playing music, you can smell where it came from.
Yeah.
But the point is they have that mentality. Just that you can smell doesn't mean that you... Like I don't know South Indian cooking, but I taste something, I can tell it's South Indian. I can't cook it. Yeah. Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. You know, if it's Idlis and coconut chutney, there's a good chance it's not Mexican. You know, unless it was refried beans in a patty that looked like an idli, you know, and then like that, you know. So what has to be is here is the abhiman and how it's seen. That's where all this comes from. It's that the abhiman is, they have the concept, they see it in this way, but it's real. But what we're talking about is that abhiman hermeneutics has to be purely spiritual. If the hermeneutics are mundane, like Jaimini, he's giving the mechanics of what they are. We use the same mechanics. The mechanics come from bhakti, they don't come from Jaimini. He just happens to be the one that they're revealed through. Because if everything was just presented as pure bhakti, who would take it? So it says one devotee out of millions of liberated persons.
Yeah.
That means 1 million people would not read the shastras, only that one devotee would. And we know that jnanis, you know, that are liberated are less than jnanis who are not. And jnanis who are not are still less than karmis, you know, who are following the shastra. So that means billions and billions of people wouldn't approach the shastra because they technically wouldn't have the adhikar. So then it comes down to how you define adhikar. Because if it's firm faith, then you're talking about now you can deal with something, you know, very technical and all that, and you'll survive. Otherwise, if not, then, you know, one ends up somewhere else. Does that make sense?
Also, then... the purpose of establishing hermeneutics is to defeat the opponent, that when the hermeneutics becomes very complex, then it has to be very precise in the context of how exactly you communicate what you want to communicate exactly.
But that's coming into Gotama.
Yeah, that's what. That's why it's very complicated. But when the hermeneutics is to understand the spiritual subject matter, it's only the right attitude is necessary, and then there are few points, like the Tadashamula Tattva, what is given, it's done. Like, and according to whatever one's purification happens by his practice of bhakti, and then whichever process of nine devotional services he sticks to continuously, then he'll get his realization. Means one of them he has to stick continuously and then get purified.
Yeah. Like you see, remember once Atmatattva was in South, and he was speaking with a Jaimini sutrawala, which are rare. It's rare that somebody follows one set of sutras, you know. Everybody's a hodgepodge. That's I guess, Hindu hodgepodge. They kind of go together, right? They both start with H. So this guy was Jaimini sutras, spoke Jaimini sutras, quoted Jaimini sutras. Atmatattva then spoke with him. After some time of speaking, the guy looked at him and says, what sutras are you using? The Atmatattva. Because he could tell that everything that he said the answers that Atmatattva gave were always consistent. So that means there's one viewpoint. So he wanted to know, what are you using? Like that. He was using Tattva Sutras. You know, so then that's the point. That's the hermeneutics means it always keeps in one place. But otherwise it's here and then the person switches over to here. In other words, if you switch for winning an argument, that's not hermeneutics. Hermeneutics means, you know, you stick to your place. You may have more direct or indirect or ways of saying it, but you don't change what you're saying. You know, so like these things with the adjusting for political correctness, but they adjust the philosophy, that's not hermeneutics. That means now your hermeneutics are political correctness, not pure devotion. So?
Yeah,
so you have to be very, very careful there. Let's introduce some more technical things when, you know, do people even understand Dasa Mool? You know, or Sambandhavideya Prayojana? You know, why would you start with hermeneutics? It's nice, but I would start with Sambandhavideya, you know, Vastu Triya. Because everything fits into that, so even the hermeneutics will fit into there.
Yeah.
You know, that'll be the you know, the in the Sambandha aspect.
Yeah, well, he actually ends the class by saying that late as the Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he put it in a 12th chapters of Jiva Dharma, the 10 Dasha Mool, and that's our hermeneutics.
Yeah.
He says it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it starts with Sambandhavideya and Prayojana, and then.
Yeah, means if that's the thing you're doing, then that makes it very nice and very clear,
yeah,
as long as it's
like
that.
Conclusion of
it. Yeah, but it can't be that it's just we're just discussing all the Jaimini points, because, like, who knows all the things? Because some of those points that are made there are grammatical and, like, and in English, it doesn't necessarily always work, unless you can see English in the context of Sanskrit.
Yeah.
You know, so most people don't. You know?
It's quite difficult.
Yeah, well, because they're seeing it as a language rather than communication. If you see it as communication, then it's easy to see, or easier to see. Because the point is, Sanskrit is easier than any other language, as far as the concepts. Details, because it deals with every aspect of communication. It has, therefore, more complex aspects. But it's dealing because it works. Like present, it's right now. Like if I said, yeah, I was just, you know, how you say, you know, what are you doing? Oh, I was just talking to, you know, Prabhu on the phone. But in English, that's past tense.
Yeah.
But in Sanskrit, it's still present tense because it's still dynamic of what's going on right now.
Yeah.
So that's the difficulty. They said, no, it's past. It says, no, it's not, because it's current in what you're thinking right now and what you're dealing right now. Because as soon as you ask me what I'm doing, I'm not doing what I was doing. Like if I come in and I'm writing something and you come in, oh, hi, hey, what are you doing? I stop writing and go, oh, I'm writing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, now if you start, well, you were writing because you're not writing now. I don't see you writing now. Are you writing now? No, you're not writing now. So why are you saying you're writing? These are useless. So one has to be very, very careful in here.
When you don't want to say, what are you doing? You say, well, I'm talking to you right now.
Yeah, yeah. Then you bring it to the... yeah, with a grumble, I'm talking to you now. Yeah, so it's just... one has to be very, very careful that one doesn't try to, you know, it means scholarship can't be the qualification for studying. It's actually a matter of you know, it means it's already given by Krishna in the Gita. You know, pranipata pari prashna sevaya. Because the point is to talk about the mechanics of it, but it only really becomes hermeneutics when you apply it. Because unless you're applying it in your life, you have a different set of hermeneutics to what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's just like Rabindra Shrupa, who gives the example of those scholars, you know, the PhDs down in Boston, that they'll sit down at the pub and argue over points on Jiva Goswami. You know, I think he's saying this. No, but then, you know, what about this and this? And then I said this and that. So they have no idea what they're talking about, because they're not devotees. And literally, he's talking, they're at a pub and talking about this stuff. So there's no application, so there can be no actual understanding. They just have fabulous memories, and they like to, you know, discuss things. And so it's just a very technical, academic points that they can discuss. It's very enthusing for them. I mean, every scholar reads Jiva Goswami, even in India, other sampradayas, they read Jiva Goswami. Because it's just no one's more logical than him. But at the same time as applying it in the life, so, but who understands? Only devotees can understand. So the hermeneutic, otherwise it's just, it doesn't get out of Shravana that you heard. But unless there's manana, that you're applying it in your life, you're using that to, well, I should please Krishna. I should do this, but I should be pleasing Krishna. That makes a difference, and I should get this done. In other words, if I focus on the effect rather than the pleasure of Krishna, it's not going to be as direct. Now, if I focus on the effect, once I get the effect, then I offer it to Krishna. Then in 18th chapter of Gita, that's renunciation. And so it's good, it's connected. But it's not as good as the more mature position where the whole time I'm thinking it's for Krishna's pleasure. So you have to know there's levels. So you can do this, but at the same time as if you're going to say this is the only way, others, they just, you know, like the gopis, they're pretty simple. But at the same time as when they come here, they write all this literature. You know, cowherd boys are sitting there with Krishna, and then they come to the yagyic Brahmins. They start explaining to the yagyic Brahmins about the different sections of the yagya that they're performing, and at which point you can actually distribute prasad. Mm-hmm. You know. So the Brahmins didn't tell them you don't know what you're talking about or this or that. They just weren't interested in giving anything to Krishna. The Prabhupada says in the purport, because they associate with Krishna, therefore they know all these things. But it just comes from inside. So we're not saying from the Sahajya let it go. We're studying the Sandarbhas here. But one has to be very, very careful that it doesn't require an academic brain to do it. You know, if one's intelligent, it's good, but one has to leave the academic perception or the academic abhiman to actually understand it. If one has a devotional abhiman, then it works. But if you have an academic abhiman, you'll never understand it. Even if you've memorized so many things, you just won't know it. That's the point that's being made. One perceives Goloka with pure spirit. But this is new, right? Before it was, we always had to fight the Mayavadis and the Sahajyas. Now we have to fight the academics, the scholars. Moving on. Vijaya Kumar, should one meditate on subject matters of the eightfold pastimes, Astakalya Lila, after purifying them? Goswami, no. One should remember the eightfold pastimes just as one sees them. When Krishna's mercy manifests by the strength of bhajan, the pastimes will appear in the heart by themselves. There's no necessity of purifying the bhava, the pastimes, with one's own effort, right? Because that's taking it into ritual. That I purify the mantra by doing this and that, I purify the paraphernalia by doing this and that, I purify the pastimes by doing, you know, I have my meditation. So they must have their meditation, you know, the sahajas, and that must have some kind of meditation to purify. The point, the pastimes are already pure. And so you've heard the pastime, you heard, let's say, Govardhan Leela, and so then you'll remember a few parts of them. And now and again you'll think about that, and that's your meditation on the pastimes. But as you purify the heart, then it comes to the point where this meditation starts to become more regular. And then it becomes, you know, music's more occasional, then it's more regular, then it becomes focused, then it becomes deep. You know, and that's all. So Krishna reveals that. It's not a process. You sit down and I'm going to do Astakalya Lila Bhajan. You know, then you're making it into like sadhana bhakti, but you don't have the adhikar for that. Vijaya Kumar, according to how one meditates during sadhana, one gains a result. Yad rishi bhavana yasya siddhir bhavati tad rishi. There seems to be a necessity of meditating on Goloka in a pure way. Goswami, this is true. All that is perceived in Braja is based on pure tattva. Nothing there is the opposite. If it has opposite qualities, it would be faulty. When sadhana is pure, one obtains the perfect result. According to the purity of meditation during sadhana, one will perceive the abode at perfection. Please perform actions so that the actions of sadhana are done nicely, but do not attempt to purify the pastimes of your material conceptions. Right? We, in other words, our service, our material conceptions are cleared, but you don't have to clear the material conceptions and pastimes. So that's the problem also, we were saying before, is that you come up to these things and the devotees have all these doubts about the pastimes and what can be proper and what's this and that. And so they're thinking they're correcting the pastimes, but no, they just have to correct themselves. Then the pastimes will make sense. Yes? No?
Yeah.
According to the purity of meditation during sadhana, one will perceive the abode at perfection. Please perform actions so that the actions of sadhana are done nicely. But do not attempt to purify the pastimes of your material conceptions. Purifying them is beyond your ability. Krishna, with his achintya shakti, will do that. If you do on your own, material knowledge will enter as a thorn. When Krishna is merciful, the result will not be faulty. Saiva Dharma, chapter 31. Oh, really? This is already at 31.
That's right.
Okay, so 31 through 40 is already in Puri. Okay. So the first up to 30 then is in
Navadvipa. 26 somewhere.
26 they change.
Okay.
Initially it describes the general. Now there is only Vijay Kumar and the other Rajanath is not even.
Oh, okay, because he's okay. Okay.
He has a particular role.
Okay.
Maharaj, I'm just trying to clarify on this point of purifying the pastimes. Is Bhaktivinoda Thakur talking about prakat aprakat, that you have to purify?
No, he's talking about that I can't meditate on the pastimes because of, you know, in my mind it's impure, so I have to purify the pastimes. No, it's your mind has to be purified, not the pastimes.
Okay. So it's not that we meditate on prakat and then in aprakat what's there it's not. It's
no, because the point is aprakat, as we said, it's aprakat is swarasiki.
Right.
It is moving pastimes. So there's no question unless you're on that platform to be absorbed in it. Uddhava's, you know, from Krishna's message is saying for them to, you know, instead of appreciate and absorb themselves in the apricot pastimes of the swarasiki. Right?
Yeah.
So in other words, if they look at that mantra-pasana mayi, they're thinking of, oh, Krishna here this and Krishna here that in the prakat pastimes.
Yeah.
But he's gone to Mantua.
Right.
So then there'll always be that feeling of separation, so they won't want to think about it. Because they'll just give him pain. Right? But they're thinking of it because the point is Krishna is always in Vrindavan. So by them thinking of it, they're actually meditating on the apricot pastimes. But they don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just, through this, it's showing the difference. Because, you know, for Radharani, the Eternal Associates, this is going to be, you know, just another wonderful aspect of absorbing yourself in Krishna, because they're always absorbed anyway. But because the summit of separation has been reached, now that they can go into the apricot meditation, then that sambhog aspect will be there, and then they'll identify back here, it'll go back and forth, and it'll just keep rising. But for those gopis who are coming up into, they haven't attained prema yet, then it's a very essential point that they know, because it's just like we came up to these aspects before, like a few years back. Immediately there's pushback, is that, you know, these pastimes aren't nice, this is not nice, look at all the anxiety they're going through. The point is no. It's that if you're absorbed in Krishna, it's real. So you're thinking, because Krishna's saying, because you think he's not there, therefore you think thinking of him is unreal. No, but the point is he is there. They think of him, he is where he's thought of. And so then immediately the pastimes just keep going. So for them, it's just they have to accept that the Swarasiki is the position to be absorbed in. And it's not something separate. So that's the point, is they're different and non-different. And so then they can function. And then you see still the separation now, comes up. So that's why then, I think this is after 3 months, and after 3 months I think Balaram comes, and I'm not sure what it is. I get the idea it's a few years, and then there's Kurukshetra, and then a very short time after Kurukshetra Krishna comes to Dantavakra and they go.
Yeah,
because we're looking at Mahabharata, the whole thing is that up to the Rajasuya is kind of like, developing. And then from the Rajasuya, then you have then you start, they go to the forest. Like the Adi, what are they called?
Adiparva?
Yeah, the Adiparva. I couldn't remember what it was then. the groups, the Parvas. Adiparva basically I think even brings you up to, they even include up to there, I'm not sure. In the small ones, the 100 parvas, means the 18 parvas are divided into 100 parvas.
Yeah.
And then from that, then you have chapters. So then the within that, it's like within the first couple of books, you've gotten up to that point. When they go to the forest after the gambling match, that's then where then you go through so much is there. The rest of the book is that. And then, not most of the book, but then you have the battle of Kurukshetra, and then that goes.
Yeah.
So that whole time there, that huge time, then they've already, Bhajabhasis have already wrapped up, before all this. I think after Rajasuya, they're there 11 years, I think. Before the gambling match.
Okay.
I think it's 11 years. Maybe 9 or 11 or something. It's quite a good amount of time. So that means before all this has come up, they've already gone to the Apaka. Because of where it comes in the Krishna book, we think it's after the battle, everything like that, but it says Bhishma's there, everybody says, so it has to be before the battle.
Yeah.
And it has to be before he killed Dantavakra, which is just after Rajasuya.
Yeah.
So then that means that it's, it's somewhere in there. So it's a short time. I mean, one moment is 12 years or more, so it's long enough. So for the eternal associates, they're just absorbed in the ecstasy of the separation and that meditation. But the new gopis, then they're coming to that platform of prema. Unless they come to prema, then now it's everybody can go to Goloka. Because Gokul is to bring you to prema, then from prema you can function in Goloka. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then the major players come back again for the next round.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Yeah, because Bhaktivinoda talks about, you have Dhrita Shraddha, firm faith, means you're on the platform of Nishta. You have faith that nothing else other than pure bhakti has any value. And pure bhakti already includes everything else. Anything of value from karma and jnana already is included in the practice of pure bhakti. It's not that you need something else. Whatever is of useful, you'll use. And whatever is not, you'll leave. But if you have kamal shraddha, means this, pliable faith, then you have to go through this, the stages, sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya, narta nivriti, like this, to get to that stage. And in that, you have to study the dasa mula. So in other words, rather than, it's on this, the thing is he's saying these guys are the only ones on that platform? You know what I'm saying? The new wallets, they're the only ones?
Yeah.